Tonight's shiur is on a little bit of a different topic than our normal Tanakh topics. The title of the shiur tonight is Turning Psukim into Songs. So tonight we're going to look at the controversial area of whether singing psukim for enjoyment is permissible in halacha, and we're going to look at the primary sources of the Gemara and some of the Achronim and see how they deal with this issue as to whether it's allowed, whether you're allowed to sing psukim for enjoyment. So if we look in source number one, the essential, basic, primary source is from Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. And the Gemara tells an interesting Gadata Medrash to explain a problem. So it starts as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, we're in source number one, the rabbis taught, HaKorei Pasuk Shel Shir HaShirim Ve'osa Oso Kemin Zemer Ve'HaKorei Pasuk Beves Mishtaos Belo Zmano Mevi Ro'a Le'olam. If a person, an individual, reads a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, and he reads it like a song, or if a person reads a pasuk in a bar, in a party situation, and it's not in its proper time, so what does he do? He brings evil to this world. So the first thing the Gemara tells us is that there are two situations which are bad, where a person brings evil to the world. One is if a person reads a pasuk from Shir HaShirim as a song, and the other one is if you read a pasuk not as a song, but in the wrong situation, in the wrong environment. If you read it in a party house and not at the right time, in both those cases, we say the person is mevi ra'al le'olam. Why? Mipnei sha'atora chugarasak ve'omedes lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'omeres lefan of ribono shel olam asu'uni banecha. So what is the problem with an individual reading a pasuk like a song, or reading it in a party house, in a bar, in a restaurant, not in the proper time? Why is it so bad? Because as a result of that, the Torah, it girds itself in a sackcloth. The Torah is treated like an individual in the Gemara, and the Torah girds itself in sackcloth, and it stands before Hashem, and it says before Hashem, Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, your children have made me like a harp in which frivolous people are, which is being played frivolously. So the objection that the Gemara is mentioning in the form of this story is that the Torah girds itself in sackcloth, it's wearing sackcloth, and it stands before Hashem, and the complaint is that when people do this, they're making Torah into a harp that the frivolous people use to enjoy. So Amar Lot, Hashem says back to the Torah in this story, Biti, my daughter, Torah, my daughter, Bishasha Ochlin Vishosin, Bamezasku. So what are they supposed to do? What should people do when they're eating and drinking? What should they be involved in? Isn't it a good thing for a person to sing psukim and to be involved in psukim? So Amar Lefanov. So the Torah said back to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam Im Bale Mikrahein Yasku B'Torah Ov Nevim Ov Ksuvim. So the Torah responds to Hashem and says, if they're able to learn Torah and to read psukim and understand them, so then they should be involved in Tanakh. Im Bale Mishnahein Yisasku B'Mishnah B'Hilchos V'Agados. If they've learned to analyze Mishnayos and learn Mishnayos, then that's what they should be involved in, Mishnayos. And finally, Im Bale Talmudhein, and let's say they even know how to learn Gemara, Yasku behilchos Pesach bePesach. What should they do when they're eating and drinking? They should be involved in the halachos of Pesach on Pesach, behilchos Atzeres baAtzeres, the halachos of Atzeres on Atzeres, behilchos Chag bChag, and they should learn about the Chag on the Chag. Heid Rab Shimon ben Elazar Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya. So he testified in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya, Kol Kori Pasuk Bizmano Mevi Tova LaOlam. If you read a pasuk in its proper time, you bring good to the world. Shenamar v'davar b'ito matov. How good is a word in its time? So just to summarize the first source, the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Gemara says as follows. There are two situations where a person is criticized. One is when a person reads the Torah as if it's a song, a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, and the other is when a person reads a pasuk in the wrong situation, when they're in a bar, in a party house, and they read it not in the right time. So the Gemara gives us a story, a funny mashal, to explain what the problem is. And what is the problem? The Torah, it's wearing sackcloth, and it goes before Hashem, and the Torah complains that the people are misusing it. They're treating it like a kinor, like a harp, for leitzim, for scoffers. And Hashem says back, what are they supposed to do? And the answer is, it depends on what they know how to learn, but they should be involved in whatever they know how to learn. And finally, if they know how to learn Gemara, which is the hardest and the most in-depth, they should be involved in the Chag on the Chag, they should be involved in Pesach on Pesach. And finally, there's a tremendous good to the world when a person does that, when he reads the Torah and he learns Psukim in its proper Zman. So the question is, I think the questions are obvious on this Gemara, but the main question is, what exactly is the problem with a person reading the Torah like a song, and a person reading in a, what is the objection that the Torah is making towards Hashem? What does it mean that the Torah is being made into a kinor, shemenagnim bo leitzim? So, and also, why is it being presented to us in a mashal, in a parable? And finally, what is the advice that the Gemara is giving, that the Torah gives, as to how a person, what is the problem? Why is Hashem asking this question to the Torah? What should they be involved in? And what is the nature of the advice that the Torah is giving back to Hashem in order that a person do the right thing and not be engaged in this flaw, in this philosophical issue? So the question, the first question, the main question of the shir is, what is the first part of the shir is, what is the problem with singing psukim? And then we'll get into the halacha of how the poskim deal with this issue. So we look in Rashi, in source number 2, Rashi says as follows, very important Rashi. He says, HaKore Hachi Garsinan, this is the girsa of the version. HaKore Shir HaShirim Be'osa Oso Kemin Zemer. What does it mean that a person reads from Shir HaShirim and makes it into a song? SheKore Benegina Acheras She'eno Nakod Ba. So what it means is that normally when we read psukim, they have trup. And we're all familiar that on Shabbos, when you go to shul and we read the Torah, we read it with trup. When we read Shir HaShirim or any of the Megillahs, we have a trup. There's a tune to the, there's a proper tune. And what does it mean to read it Kemin Zemer? It means that you're changing the trup. You're not reading it with the proper trup. You're making it into a different song. So for example, if you took a pasuk from Shir HaShirim and you sang it to the tune of It's a Small World, so that would be an example of what the Gemara is telling us not to do. So what happened? So what do you do? Keep going in Rashi. He says, "V'osa osa kamin shir." You're making it into a song. Afo pi shemeshir ashirim hu v'ikro shir aser la'asoso kamin shir ela b'kriyasa. Now this is essential. Rashi says, even though that it's from Shir HaShirim, and even though Shir HaShirim is a shir, even so, you can't sing it like a regular song, but rather you have to sing it with its proper trup. So what do we see from Rashi? Rashi is saying that the Gemara is not limited to Shir HaShirim. It's using Shir HaShirim because Shir HaShirim is the biggest chiddush. That you would think that Shir HaShirim, perhaps you could do it as a song, because it's essentially a song. And that's why the Gemara is telling you, no, even Shir HaShirim you can't do as a song. But certainly other psukim from, let's say, this week's Parsha, Naso, or psukim from various Parshios, you cannot read as a song. It's just using Shir HaShirim as the paradigm because of the fact that you might have thought that it was different because it's a shir. So we still have to answer the question, what's the problem? What's the problem with reading psukim and singing psukim as if they're a song? And then the second problem, look in Rashi in source number 2, and it's three lines up from the bottom, HaKori Pasuk V'Veis HaMishtaos Below Zman. Now if a person reads a pasuk in a bar, in a party house, in the wrong time, B'Mesa V'Alyeno, when a guy is reclining with his wine, Oses Chikosav B'Divrei Torah, so he's going to make his laughter and his conversation and his laughter with Torah, V'Kori Psukim B'Koram, and the guy's drinking and he starts yelling out Psukim out loud, L'Sachik B'Hem B'Nei HaMishta, in order that everybody gets a good laugh. So that's the case. If a person's hanging out with his buddies and he's drinking and he starts saying Psukim out of context just to get a good laugh, Aval Im Amro B'Zmano Al HaMishta, but if a person says it in the proper time, even if they're drinking, kigon shu yom tov v'noto kos biyado, like on yom tov, there's a halacha of basar v'yayin, that on yom tov a person is supposed to eat basar and drink wine, and if a person were to be drinking wine and be quoting psukim, that's okay, that's also good. V'omer alav divrei agado psukim in yano shel yom, if a person's learning and reading psukim of the day while he's drinking wine on yom tov, mevi tova lo olam, that's the opposite, instead of mevi ra, that's the good. So what exactly is the big difference between a person in the b'meisav al yeno and reading psukim out loud versus on yontif, and why is doing it on yontif such a good? Why does it add such a good to the world? So those are all the questions that we have on tonight's shir, for tonight's shir, and we're going to have to define it philosophically. What's the problem? So I think the way to answer it, we're not going to get to the answer right away, but we'll go in steps. And what's interesting about the Medrash is that the Torah is being presented as a person, as an individual, not as a group of writing, but rather as a person. And the Gemara explains that the Torah is chogeras sak. We saw in source number 1, at the end of line number 1 and the beginning of line number 2, it says b'pnei she'Torah chogeras sak, that as a result of the Torah being read as a shir, as a song, and being sung, it is in sackcloth. So what is the significance of sackcloth? Why? When do we see the idea of suck in the Torah, throughout the Torah and Tanakh? So that's, I think, a clear way to get to understanding this medrash. So if we look in source number 3, one prominent idea of suck, which I think the Gemara is referencing, comes from Bereishis, source in Bereishis. And we see that after Yaakov lost Yosef, it says in Bereishis Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayikra Yaakov Simosav, Vayosem Suk Bemosna, Vayisabil Al Beno Yamim Rabim. So Yaakov was distraught when he thought that Yosef was dead. The brothers lied to him. And his response was that he tore his clothing and he put on sackcloth. And he was in mourning over his son for many days. So sackcloth is not a very appealing clothing. You don't go shopping for sackcloth. You can't get sackcloth at a designer store. But sackcloth is very cheap, and it's disheveled. It's a disheveled look. And sackcloth is usually tied to the idea of avelus, of mourning. So it seems, just based on the Torah's presentation of suck, we use suck in mourning and also in tinus, that suck seems to be an idea in avelus. One idea of suck is in avelus. And perhaps the idea of the Torah wearing suck is that the Torah is in an avelus of sorts. It's in a type of avelus. So what is the significance of that, and you know, how does it fit into to the concept of why it's a problem to read the psukim b'shir? So I just wanted to give over a basic halacha on avelus. There's many halachas on avelus, how a person's supposed to dress. There's no chiv to wear sackcloth, but a person's not supposed to wash his clothes. There are many different obligations that a mourner has to keep in order to maintain his mourning. But one of the things, one of the open halachos in source number 4, it's the Rambam Hilchos Avel Perek Hei Halacha Chaf. So it's also interesting halacha l'maisa as well. So I brought in this halacha, and I'll tie it, and I'll show you what I think it means. So it says as follows: Uminayin sha avil aser b'sheila shalom. So one of the prohibitions that a mourner's involved in is that they're not allowed to be greeted or greet people. There's restrictions on it. Shenamar heanek dom. The psukim say that a person is supposed to melt away in silence. You're supposed to grieve somewhat in silence. So how does this manifest halachically in the halachic system? Kol shloshi yamim arishonim, mishin nasan lo shalom ein machzir lo ela modio shu avil. So the first 3 days, if somebody says to him, "How are you? Hi," the avil is supposed to just tell him, not respond, and just say, "I'm an avil." He's not supposed to say, "How are you?" and not supposed to engage in conversation. Umishlosha v'at shiva, mishi yishal b'shlomo machzir lo shalom. So from 3 days to 7 days, the first 3 to 7 days of shiva, so if a person says hi to him, he's allowed to say hi back. And then it says umishiva avat shloshim, and then from 7 days, the end of shiva till shloshim, shol b'shalom achirim. The other is allowed to go out of his way to ask other people how they're doing. Aval achirim ein shol in b'shlomo ad la'achar shlomim. But other shloshim, other people are not supposed to ask the other how he's doing until after shloshim. And then it keeps going. Val aviv val imo ein shol in b'shlomo ad la'achar shnimasar chodesh. When a person's in avelus in mourning for their parent, another person is not supposed to ask them how they're feeling, how they're doing, up to, you know, the first 12 months. Im b'sheila shalom nasar, if sheila shalom is asar, greeting, but avil kal v'chomer shu asar l'harbos tvar and v'lischok, shenem ardom. And avil certainly not allowed to be involved in laughter, because it says in silence. So certainly, if they're not allowed to converse with somebody else in a greeting, they can't be involved in laughter as well. V'lo yochas, this is an interesting halacha, v'lo yochas tinok b'yado, shalo yivyenu l'idei schok. You're not, an avil is not supposed to hold a child because children make you laugh. And an avil is not supposed to have a child on his lap, or a woman's not supposed to have a child on their lap, unless, of course, they have to take care of the child. But in general, you shouldn't put a child on an avil's lap because an avil gets a lot of enjoyment and starts laughing. And furthermore, and even more so, an avil is not allowed to go into a house of simcha, into a party house, into a restaurant, into a simcha. So we see from the Rambam, what do we see? This one point that I want to demonstrate from avelus, that one of the ideas of avelus, the main idea, is that an avel, it has to be removed from simcha. The Rambam says he's removed from shela shalom, but he's removed from laughter. He's removed. He's not allowed to go into an environment of simcha. So one of the key points of avelus is that a person has to be silent, but also they have to be removed from happiness and simcha. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that. But it seems like that's an essential idea in avelus. So if the Torah is presenting itself like an avel, because it's wearing sackcloth, it could be that the Gemara is trying to tell us that the Torah is removed from simcha. And if we continue on in the Gemara in Tainus, we see an interesting facet about learning Torah and an interesting idea, which I think we'll be able to come to the main idea of the first part of this year. So the Gemara is on Tisha B'Av, with regard to Tisha B'Av. And the question is, are you allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara is in source number 5. It's Tainus Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, the easy Gemara. Kol mitzvos anogos ba'avil nogos b'tisha b'av. All the mitzvos that an avil, a mourner, is noeg, has a custom to keep, so too the same as goes on Tisha B'Av. Aser b'achilo v'shisio u'v'sicho v'nilas asandal v'tashmish amito. So they're usher on Tisha B'Av, you're also usher to eat and drink, but you're usher to anoint yourself, wear leather shoes, intimacy, and also you can't learn Torah, you're not allowed to read Torah in the Vayim and Ksuvim, Ulishanos b'mishnah b'talmud of medrash of halachos v'agaros. You're not allowed to learn Gemara, you can't learn Mishnayos, Midrash, Avalkori hu b'makom she'enu ragil likros, v'shonu b'makom she'enu ragil lishanos. However, a person, according to this sheet in the Gemara, a person can learn something that they're not familiar with. You can start a new area, something that you've never learned before. V'kori b'kinos, you can also read kinos. B'iov v'dvarim harayim sh'b'yirmiyon, you're also allowed to learn sad topics. And v'tinoko shel b'yisrab and b'talin, the schools are closed. Mishum sh'nemar, why is this asur on Tisha B'Av? Because it says, "Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev." The laws of Hashem are upright and they make a person happy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afinu Kor B'Makom Sheino Ragel Likros. Rabbi Yehuda says even more so, a person can't read an area, learn an area that they've never done before. Ve'eino Shona B'Makom Sheino Ragel Lishanos. So he even says you can't do that. Aval Kori Hu Be'io V'Kinos V'Dvaram Aram Shebri Yirmiyo V'Tinoko Shel Beis Rabin B'Telimbo Mishum Shenem Ar Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev. So he argues, Rabbi Yehuda says, that you can't even learn an area that's new to you. However, you are allowed to learn sad areas. And it's the same pasuk that's quoted. B'kudei Hashem yishar mesam chilev. That learning the laws of Hashem are upright and they make a person happy. So what do we see? How can we put this medrash, this gemara, all together to try to get an idea as to what it's talking about, what the gemara is getting at? So I was trying to think of an example to illustrate, I think, the point of the gemara. And the example is as follows. If you we've all been to museums, well, some of us have been, but art museums, you know, very often they show us beautiful works by tremendous talents. Yeah, you know, it just reminded me of a story. I was once working with a patient, and they were in a building, a random building, and I walked into the patient's house, and you would never suspect that this person was super wealthy because they lived on a regular floor in a regular building, and I walked down into this apartment, and there was beautiful artwork on the walls. And I asked the patient, you know, if any of them were famous. And he said, of course. And he showed me Picasso's. He actually had a Picasso, Chagall. He had a Rembrandt in his apartment. And you'd never expect it. You never suspect it. But they're beautiful. The paintings that he had were, you know, one of the paintings he lent out to a museum. And they would borrow it for time periods. So you would never suspect it. But when you see these beautiful pieces of art, they make you, you know, you get an enjoyment out of them. So imagine taking a piece of artwork or, let's say, a sculpture that was beautiful and putting it on your desk and using it as a paperweight. So that would be an example where you're taking something that makes you happy, and the primary way it makes you happy is through viewing it and looking at it. And you're using it in another way that makes you happy, as a paperweight. But the happiness that you're using it for, the function that you're using it for as a paperweight, can provide a person with a lot less happiness and enjoyment than appreciating it as a work of art. So over here too, I think the Torah, the Gemara is telling us a beautiful idea. The Gemara is saying that when you read the Torah and you use it as a song, what you're doing is that you're replacing its primary method of making a person happy with a secondary method of making a person happy. The primary method of Torah making a person happy is learned out from Tainus, from the Gemara in Tainus, B'kudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev, that when a person learns Torah, it makes his heart happy. And that is the design of Torah. The design of Torah is that Torah is really meant to make a person feel happy and emotionally satisfy their need for enjoyment. However, when a person takes Torah and it uses it, you know, in a different way, it uses it for song. So really the Torah is an avelos, which means that the Torah is removed from it being a producer of happiness. And instead, it's producing happiness, but on a much lower level, on a much lower scale. And it's the equivalent to the art example I was using, where you take something that its real primary function is to make you happy by appreciating it as a beautiful work of art, and now you're using it in a lesser way. You're using it as a paperweight. Yes, you'll appreciate it, but the appreciation, the enjoyment, the satisfaction of it it's sad. It's as if the sculpture is an avalus. It's removed from its ability to make people happy because you're replacing it with an ulterior, a secondary form. So that is the problem in both these situations. When a person's reading psukim improperly, when they sing it, or you're in a party house in both, and you're reading psukim below zmano, what you're doing is you're making the Torah into an avel. You're removing the Torah from its ability to make people happy. You're using it in a way which takes it away from making people happy, because you're using it and you're using it in a secondary way, a secondary function. So now the question is, so what is Hashem's argument? Why does Hashem say that what should people do when they're involved in eating and drinking? And what is the Gemara's answer, that a person should be involved in learning what they know how to learn, and they should be involved in Pesach on Pesach and Atzeres on Atzeres? So why is the Torah... This is a very common, I think argument about singing psukim, that it's better than listening to secular music, or what are they supposed to do? So the answer is an interesting answer, so we have to understand it. So I think there's another Gemara that kind of highlights what this idea is, and we'll try to explain what the concept is. And I'll give you, I think there's another example that we can use. But so if you look in the Gemara in source number 6, it's Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and it's a funny story also. So it says, Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe said, Ein Adam Lomei Torah Ela Mimakom Shalibo Chafetz. A person can only learn Torah from a place that his heart desires. Shenemar, Ki Im B'Torah Hashem Cheftzo. That his desire is of the Torah of Hashem. The Torah of Hashem is his desire. So there's a story. Levi Rav Shimon B'Rebbe Yasvi Kameh D'Rebbe. So Levi and Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, they were sitting in front of Rebbe, V'Kapaski Sidra. They were learning the Sedra. Sulik Sifra, they finished it and they closed the book. Levi Amar Laisi Lan Mishle. So Levi wanted to learn Mishle. Rav Shimon Rebbe Amar Laisi Lan Tehillim. So Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, said, no, let's learn Tehillim. Kfil Levi V'Aisu Tehillim. So he didn't listen to Levi. I guess Rebbe wanted to learn Mishle. Sorry, wanted to learn Tehillim. And they brought out the Tehillim instead of Mishle. So Levi lost out, and it seems a little bit unfair that Rebbe's son got his way. But Rebbe's son was right. They started learning Tehillim. Ki matu hacha ki im b'toras Hashem cheftzo. When they got up to this pasuk in Tehillim, where it says that the Torah of Hashem, it's in the first parak, so I guess it was pretty quickly. It says the Torah of Hashem is a person's desire, is his desire. Parish Rebbe. Rebbe explained the pasuk as follows: V'amar ein adam lomei Torah elim makom shalibo chafetz. That a person can only learn in an area where he desires. Amar Levi. Levi said, Rebbe, nasata lanu rishus lamod. Now you gave us you gave me the permission to leave. So Levi walked out. So what's the idea? That the Gemara is telling us that a person's only going to be able to learn and retain information and really enjoy Torah if they're learning an area in which they desire. And if you go on in Rashi explains in source number 7, Mimakum Shalibo Chafetz, Lo Yishana Lo Rebbe Rabo El Masecha Shehu Mevake Shemenu. When you should ask your Talmidim what they want to learn. If you're a Rebbe, you should say, what do you guys want to learn? She'im yishana lo masecha secheres. If you start teaching a different masechta, ein miskayemes l'fisha libo al tavaso. The Torah is not going to, it's not going to be internalized. It's not going to last because the students they're not interested. They want to learn, let's say they want to learn Gemara Shabbos, or they want to learn a Gemara on Tainus. So if you start teaching them Ksubos, they're not going to pay attention. They're not going to be able to internalize the ideas. So what do we see from this Gemara, and I think our Gemara? So I think the Gemara is telling us that if a person wants to get the emotional happiness and satisfaction, they should be involved in areas that have emotional relevance to them, either because they desire, they want to learn it, or in the context of the Moed. If a person's learning on, the Gemara says, Im bale mikra hein yasku b'tor v'neviyim uviksuvim. A person should learn something that they're comfortable with, that they're able to learn. Don't learn an area that's far beyond you. Don't take up an area that you've never approached before. If you're looking emotionally, you want an emotional happiness because you really want to connect with Torah in an emotional way, don't learn something that's hard for you. Learn something easy. Learn something that you're good at. Learn something that you're driven towards. And context is very important. He says if you're able to learn Gemara, learn Pesach, Hilchos Pesach on Pesach, learn Atzeres on Atzeres, meaning you want the Gemara to have relevance to you emotionally. And when you learn Gemara of Pesach on Pesach, it makes the Gemara more real to you, and it'll make the experience more enjoyable to you. So the Gemara is telling us that a person shouldn't think that a person's incapable of getting that level of happiness out of Torah, but there's a way to do it. The way to do it is by a person selecting areas that they find enjoyable, by learning Torah that's relevant to them, and learning areas that a person feels comfortable learning. It doesn't mean that you should never challenge yourself. It doesn't mean that you should always stick with things that you've learned before, because there is a time and a place for that as well. But when you're looking for emotional satisfaction and happiness, and you're looking for that type of emotional connection, then you should be careful and you should try to pick areas that you enjoy and pick areas that you feel comfortable with and that you're able to learn. So that's what the Gemara is telling us. So yes, it wouldn't be better for a person to sing psukim in a frivolous manner. It would be better for a person to take the situation emotionally and pick an area that'll satisfy them emotionally. Pick an area that you feel comfortable with, pick an area that you're driven towards, and pick an area that is relevant to you. And that's why if you look in Rashi, on Yontif, that's the perfect example. When a person's drinking on Yontif, you drink Yayin, so a person's in a state of mind where they're in a more emotional state. And in that situation, for a person to learn is perfect, it's beautiful. That'll really satisfy a person emotionally. There's no need to start singing psukim. There's no need to use it in a different way, in a different manner. So that's the way that I think the Gemara is trying to, or that's the approach I think the Gemara is trying to give us. So now we have to look at, now we get to how the post can deal with this, because there are situations nowadays, especially nowadays, where people do sing psukim, and it's very common. There are a lot of Jewish singers out there that pick psukim out from Tehillim in different areas, and they make them and they attach different tunes to them. So how do we deal with that halachically? So if we look at source number eight is the Yad Ramah, and he's the earliest. He's actually one of the Rishonim, and he explains, he's a parish on Maseches Sanhedrin. So he says as follows. He gives us an opening here. In source number 8, it's a Yad Ramah and Daf Kufal Famed Aleph, and it says, Tanur Rabbanan, HaKori Pasuk Mishir Hashirim Be'osa Oso Kemin Zemer, Afilu L'Shorer Bo L'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shelo Nitan Elo L'Kroso B'Ta'amim Shebo, V'Lo Derech Zemer. So he just quotes the Gemara, and he says that a person should not make a Pasuk into a song, even if he's singing to Hashem, because the Torah was given to be read with its Ta'amim, with its trup, and not in some random tune. V'yesh lafarish, so he says that one explanation you can explain, dahani mili man dekari le derech schok. That's only if a person is reading or singing psukim in a laughing manner. Aval man demechavein l'shabuchi be'la kadosh baruch hu derech nigun shapir dami. But if you're singing psukim in order to give shevach to Hashem, then it's okay. But then he says umilsa tzricha iyuna. But this idea requires more in depth analysis. So the Yad Ramah, he tries to give an explanation as to why it may be permissible in certain situations to sing psukim, and he says as follows, that if you're singing the psukim, he wants to explain the Gemara that it's based on the function of what you're doing. That if you're singing psukim just to laugh, then it's a problem. But if you're singing psukim to give shevach to Hashem, then it's okay. Then you can change the trup of the psukim. But he's not willing to commit to it halachically. And he even says, "Milsa tzricha yuna" means that he's not willing to commit and that you still need to investigate. So even according to the Yad Ramah, the pshat of the Gemara is that you can never sing psukim, but he wants to give a possible explanation as to when you may be able to. And he says the explanation is, if you're really doing it legitimately to give shevach, to praise Hashem, so then it's okay. It might be okay. So that's one possibility. But the more modern poskim that we're going to look at, three of the achronim on how they deal with this issue, and the more modern poskim have different approaches as to how to deal with it. So, and how to potentially answer some of the questions. So if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, the first is going to be the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't really take up this point, but the Mishnah Berurah mentions it. So the Shulchan Aruch is in the context of Hilchos Tisha B'Av, and it says as follows. So there is an idea the Shulchan Aruch brings down that you're not really allowed to play musical instruments. We don't really hold like that, or most people don't. and you're not supposed to listen to music. There are many poskim that say you can't even listen to music as a zecher the korban. But he says like this: the Ramah says v'yish omrim dafka misha ragil b'hem kigon amalachim she'omdim b'shochnim b'chlei shir. So he wants to say that it's limited to people who are constantly involved in music, o b'veis amishta or in the beis amishta. V'aser l'shoma m'pnei achorban. He says you can't listen to them because of the korban, the beis amikdash. V'afilu shir b'peh alayayin. Even if a person sings karaoke on wine, asura, that's aser shnemar b'shir lo yishter yayin. A person's not supposed to sing on yayin. Ukfar nagu kol yisrael lomar divrei tishbachos o shir shel hodos v'zicharon chaste kadosh baruch hu alayayin. But there's a minug that's been established where Jewish people sing praises to Hashem, and they sing about God's kindness, Hashem's kindness, while they're drinking. And he says, V'chein l'tzorach hagav, v'chein l'tzorach a mitzvah kigon b'veis chasim nekala kol shari. And especially in a situation of mitzvah, by a marriage, by a wedding, it's okay, it's mutter to sing divrei tishbachos, praises, and songs of thanks, and talking about Hashem's chesed, and if you create a song out of it, it's fine. So the Mishnah Berurah takes up our idea of Pesukim, and source number 9, he says as follows, Divrei Tishbachos, Kasav Bilikute Maharil. So the Maharil says, Shelo Kedinhu Shemeshorim B'mishta Odecha Kianisani, V'chi Aigavna L'simchas Mereus. So he says that when you're at a party, it would be inappropriate to sing a Pesuk like Odecha Kianisani, a Pesuk from Hala. You shouldn't just sing it in order to be happy. Ki Oz HaTorah Chol Gerasak, because then you have the problem of our Gemara that you're taking Torah and you're using it in an improper way. You're using it for a secondary form of simcha. Ach beveis akneses l'regalim mitzvah l'zamer. He says that in the beis akneses, on the regalim, there is a mitzvah to sing. V'alkein v'alkorchach mesek ha-magin avram. The Magen Avram concludes based on this, delo shari b'shabbos l'zamer. A person can't sing anything on Shabbos. Ela osan shirim sheniskenu al suuda. He can only sing the songs that were designed for the suuda, songs that people have written for the suuda. Aval piyutim acherim asu. You can't just sing random psukim at the Shabbos meal. So the Mishnah Berurah comes out strong based on the Maharil, that based on our Gemara as well, that it would be improper for a person to just sing any piyutim, psukim at a meal. They should sing. You can sing a song that was designated, designed for Shabbos. You know, there are plenty of songs like that, Sor Mishalo, you know, Kariban, all the songs like that where they're not psukim, that's fine. But to sing psukim or other piyutim would be inappropriate. So now let's look at three. We're going to look at, you can't look at all the psukim in a lot of halachic areas because, the poskim, excuse me, because a lot of times it gets too confusing. And so I just wanted to look at, you know, three major poskim and look at how they approach the area. And the first one is Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was one of the poskim of the Dor, the generation. And he takes up this question as well. So he says like this in source number 10. Uve'etzem roim anu sherova olam mizamrim nuschei brachos v'gam sukim b'chol inyani simcha af chasinim ba'anshei ma'isa. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein says that when you go to a wedding, we notice that there's always psukim being sung and brachos. People make songs out of the brachos, and he says that even people who are on a high level are involved in this. So how could it be the case? He says af shezev vaday he hamefurish b'gemar le'iser. He says, even though the Gemara says openly that it's aser, v'lo yadua li tam nachon. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I don't understand. I can't give a good reason as to why they're allowed to do this. So he wants to say, v'ulai mefarshin b'gemara dafka pasuk shel shir hashirim shel lo yavo lezalzal b'shir hashirim lomar she'eno kadosh elahim divrei shir ba'alma. So one of the possibility is that maybe the Gemara, when it says that you can't sing a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, is limiting it only to Shir HaShirim, because you don't want to degrade Shir HaShirim. You don't want to make Shir HaShirim into something that's not kadosh, that's not holy. So maybe that's why they're allowed to sing other psukim. But he says, he goes on, he says, "Delo karashi," but this is not like Rashi, "Shapira shenakad shash Shir HaShirim lirabusa." Because we learned Rashi, and Rashi says that Shir HaShirim is, in addition, it doesn't mean Dafka Shir HaShirim, but Kal V'Chomer Shir HaShirim. Afal Pishim Shir HaShirim Hu, the Ikra Shir, Asher Lasso Sukkim and Shir, Demashma, Shekol Shekin, Sukkim Shel Torah V'Chom Levim, V'Chzuvim Shel Asher. So Rav Moshe doesn't like it, because he says Rashi clearly is applying this Isser to any Psukkim, not just Shir HaShirim. Aval Afim Nimtza Perish Kazeh, Hainu Lanu L'Chush L'Perish Rashi. Even if you found an explanation different than Rashi, you should still be choshesh for Rashi. V'chein hu gam I'm not sure. The Noda Yehuda. I don't know who he's quoting there. Vitzarach Ian Betam Shemekilin. So he says we need some Ian, some explanation why people are makel. And then he goes on. He talks about listening on a tape recorder. So we see from Ramosha Feinstein's tshuva. I just took out a piece of it. It's Yoredei Achelik Beis Siman Kufman Beis. We see that he's kind of. It seems like he's against it. He says that people do it. He says you see in weddings that it's done, but he doesn't understand why. He gives an explanation that he rejects. He says that maybe an explanation is that it's only a pasuk from Shir Hashirim that you're not allowed to sing. And in the end, he says no. That really, it seems like we should be choshesh for Rashi, certainly. Oh, sorry, Nun Yud was the Nimuki Yosef, and also Nimuki Yosef learns like Rashi, and therefore it would be inappropriate to sing psukim at a wedding. So Ramosha is pretty strong against it. But there's two other poskim that we should look at, and then I'll summarize the different opinions. So one other posek is the Tzitz Eliezer, and it's in Chelek Chaf Beis Siman Yud. And the Tzitz Eliezer is mostly known for his tshuvas on an abortion. That's where he's most popular. But the Tzitz Eliezer was also a posek. I think he died relatively recently. And he writes as follows. Same question about singing psukim. In source number 11, he says, Barishona hach memra shebesanhedrin daf kuf alf anan alef da kori pasuk shir hashirim the osa oso kemin zemer the akori pasuk beves mishtaos below zmano mevi ra'ol olam. So he quotes our Gemara in Sanhedrin that it's a bad thing for a person to sing psukim and also to say psukim out of context. He says lo nifsika lahalacha lo barambam below betur v'shulchan aruch. So he wants to say that if you look through all the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah and you look through the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, nobody brings this down the halacha. Kinira mipnei she'ein lemedim min ha'agados, because he wants to say that Sanhedrin is not the Gemara that we did was not halachic Gemara. It's not to teach you the law, but it was an agadata, and we don't learn halachos from agadata. V'rak ha'magin Avram baruchaim siman tuf kuf samach siv katan yun mevi zos b'shem ha'maril d'shelo kedinhu shemeshorin b'mishta odachak yenisani. So it's only once, very later on, much later on, where we get to the Maharil, that he's the only one that brings it down the halacha. The chiyai gabna kamputim l'simchas areus. So he wants to say, and he wants to say that it would be okay. He continues. He goes ukmo chen masha mitzayin amagin Avram sham lezeh gam l'masha kasev bezeh b'sefer hachasidim sim kuf mem zayin hine kasev sham beikar b'lashon aval osam aholchem ba'omim amerkaros derech leitzim. So he says like this, that really, if you look, his proof is that it's okay, that it's not brought down the halacha. So he wants to say that since the Gemara is only philosophical, it might be a philosophical problem, but halachically it's not asur. And in fact, he says that if you read the Sefer HaChassidim and the Maharil, it would only be a problem if a person's using it improperly, like the Yad Ramah. But if a person is doing it properly, it's not a problem. So the Tzitz Eliezer argues with Ramosha. Ramosha seems to say that it's usher and it's a problem. The Tzitz Eliezer says it's not usher. He says because it's not really meant to teach us halacha. It's only meant to teach us an agadata, a philosophical idea, but we can't legislate. We can't force people to follow this philosophical idea. And therefore, he wants to say that it would be okay. So finally, we're rounding out the shir here. So finally, one more shita. The Or Letzion, who's one of the Svardic poskim, Chelek Beis Haros Perak Yudal Adine Brachos, he says, we'll skip down because we don't have to read the whole thing, but he also mentioned an interesting idea. If you go to Verah Od, like five lines up from the bottom, he says, Verah Od B'Mishnah Brura B'Simen Tavkov Samech Saif Katan Yud B'Shem Ma'aril V'Chein Tov Lizar. So he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, and he basically says that it's a problem. But then he says, "V'chein tov lizar ba'miras Hashem Melech Hashem Malach Hashem Yimoch le'olam va'ed she'omer b'tfila uvevris milo chedome shelo yinagneim kemin zemer." So he brings in another interesting point that the other poskim don't mention. What about in tefila? So he wants to say that in tefila it might be a problem to sing Hashem Melech. You know, when a lot of people are very poetic and very artistic when it comes to taking tunes, foreign tunes, and adding them into tefillah. So the Or Letzion and Chalek Beis, I suggest we read the whole tshuva, but he mentions at the end that tefillah might be a problem. But he says, V'lachin yishla shoriz miros apiyutim she'enim psukim. Therefore, in tefillah, you should focus your songs and your tunes on the tefillos that aren't psukim. The achshav ha-minag l'hakel b'zeh. But he says, nowadays, the minag is to be mekel v'nirash sam chulomar de'ikar akpida dafka b'vati mishtao. So he wants to say that maybe they're relying on the idea that it's only in a base bati mishtaos that you're not allowed to act this way. So he wants to say, he brings in another point, he really comes out against it, but he tries to explain that in tefillah, what people rely on is the idea that it's not a base mishtaos, it's a base kineses, and therefore they want to say that it's okay in the framework of tefillah. But if you look through the tshuva, he also comes out a little bit against it, like the Egros Moshe. So finally, the Rav Avadya Yosef in Yabi Omer, he also says that if you're going to do it, he says in source number 13, Ve'en l'chush b'zeh l'haskar shem Hashem v'atal, u'bilvad she'adavar b'simchas mitzvah, v'hazanta hashomem hi b'choved rosh. He's talking about listening to psukim, or songs, on a tape recorder. If you're listening to Jewish music, he says that when a person listens, they should have a certain seriousness, and they should have a certain weight. They should be their kovei rosh means a certain seriousness. V'makom gila shamte ra'ada. So he wants to say that he says that if you're gonna do it, if you're gonna listen to psukim as music, you should have a certain seriousness. You shouldn't be in a state where, you know, a state of drinking and a state of simcha, pure simcha, but you should have a certain seriousness. So let me just summarize the shiur tonight. I think it's a little bit appropriate also for Shavuos, post-Shavuos, because we got the Torah on Shavuos, and we want to learn about the value of Torah. So the shiur tonight is on turning psukim into songs, singing psukim, as they're not meant to, without their trup. And we started with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara gives us a weird story, and it seems to indicate that it's a really bad thing to sing psukim, to sing them, or to say them in the wrong context. But rather, if you do it properly, then it's a very good thing. So the question is, what's the problem? Philosophically, halachically, what exactly is the problem? So you see from the Medrash that the Torah is chogar sak, it's wearing sackcloth, and sackcloth is a sign of avelus. So the Medrash is trying to express that the Torah is in a state of avelus, it's in a state of removed from simcha. And really the design of Torah is for simcha, to make a person happy. We see that on Tainus and Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn Torah because it makes us happy. So what's the problem with singing psukim? The problem is that you're replacing the primary goal and the primary function of Torah through learning to make a person happy, and you're trying to make it into a lesser form. You're taking it and you're using it to satisfy a person in a lesser manner. And really you're redesignating, you're redesigning Torah for a different function. And that's a problem. But rather, what should a person do? A person should recognize when they have a need for that simcha of Torah, and they should try to learn Torah in the proper context and learn areas that they want to learn, and also learn areas that they find that they're easy to learn, that they're able to learn. And then finally, we looked at a couple postgame, not all of the postgame, but it seems like Ramosha Feinstein was against it, although he recognized that it's done, that people sing psukim, and especially at weddings and simchas. The Tzitz Eliezer, I think, has the best idea as to why it should be mutter, and he wants to say it should be mutter because the Gemara is an agadata. It's trying to teach us a philosophical good, but not trying to teach us halachic idea. And finally, the Or Litzion mentions an interesting point where we see that this idea of singing psukim, it takes on tefillah, and we have issues in tefillah, and the question is, he wants to bring in a question of whether you're allowed to sing psukim in the framework of tefillah or not, based on our Gemara. And finally, the Rav Avadya Yosef says that if a person is going to listen to psukim and songs, you should do it with a certain kovei rosh, with a certain seriousness, and not try to make the situation one of levity, one of non-seriousness. So that's really the shiur tonight. Anybody have any questions on the halachos or the philosophical idea? All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos.
Yeah, I have a good question. Actually.
Sure, yeah.
Can you just give an example of tzitzit that would be sung from the Torah? Because I keep thinking of like Kedusha and those types of benching and stuff as opposed to anything from the Torah.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah,
what you're referring to? I'm sure I know a million examples in my head, but...
Yeah, I mean, we do it in Hallel, but Odecha Ki Nisani is a song. I mean, I'm not so familiar with the Jewish music myself, but I know that people sing different psukim. Oh, like one issue might be, for example, at a wedding when you sing Imesh Kachich. So that's a pasuk, and it has ta'amim, it has a trup to it, and people sing it in order to convey or to create like a sadness. So some shitas, some poskim would say that's okay because you're not using it in the framework of frivolity. But on the other hand, some people might say it's a problem because you're singing the psukim in a way that it wasn't designed for. That would be a good example. Other example, I mean, if you go to a lot of weddings, you know, they have Jewish songs where they take snippets of psukim and or on Simchas Torah, for example, you know, Torah Hashem Tmima, Meshivas Nefesh, Edus Hashem Nemana, Machimas Pesi. That's a pasuk from Tehillim, and they sing that. They sing it in a song. So that would be another example. So a lot of Jewish music nowadays is based on psukim, singing psukim. So based on some the Gemara and the poskim that I was bringing down, it could be a problem. It's certainly not a problem to sing a pasuk about Judaism, about Hashem. That's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. But it might be a problem to take a pasuk that already has a song attached to it. It's already designed to be sung with its trup, to teach you ideas, to use that in a different way. It would be a problem. Okay? So those are just some... Yeah. All right. So everybody have a good week. Have a good Shabbos. And,
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.